This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We might not be able to trade away Emmanuel Clase. You know why?
Why is that?
Because I think some teams might be afraid they're going to get Emmanuel Clase.
Yeah, I guess we heard something different.
Caller of the year already.
Our fans heard it. The listeners heard it. Something was going on in studio, so apologize to that caller.
I'm working on it.
It's one of those calls where I'm like, I hope that guy ain't mad, because it was that beautiful of a call. Thank you. I hope he ain't mad. 216-474-0092. Well, I was going to ask you about this Jeremy Fowler thing. We'll get to that here in a moment, I promise. But how much trouble are the Guardians in right now? Is the season on the brink?
Yeah.
I guess I could come right out and ask it now. Is the season on the brink? I think that this is, I think there's a difference when the season is in trouble or the season is over. I think there's a difference in those two questions. I think there's no doubt about it that you can ask whether or not the season is in trouble.
Can I give you two numbers?
Yeah.
They've had the sixth toughest strength of schedule to this point. They've got the 28th remaining strength of schedule.
All right, but Seattle's poop. And I'm glad you brought that up. That makes me feel a little bit better. The season's not over. 35-35. The season's not over. But when I add in, is there a single caller out there, a single listener, who thinks that this team will add at the deadline? Nope. Is there a single caller out there? Is there callers out there, listeners out there, who thinks that this team will shed players before the deadline? Yep. All right. And you are. Not just, I understand, like they've had a very tough first half schedule. Seattle got back over 500 by playing you. And you're in a bad spot right now where you're 500 and you're on the West Coast. So they don't play tonight, but those games tomorrow start at what, 9:40? Are they 9:40
games? 9:45.
9:40 game, 9:45 games. So you have two games that are in the afternoon Eastern. Thursday, Sunday. Who knows what you're going to do in those other games? The A's aren't very good, but who knows what you're going to do in those other games? And by the time they come back, like I think you're getting to a point like when they by the time they come back, if you can't take two or three from the Giants, who are a serious ball club, clearly from what they've done, and you can't take two or three against the A's, they're not Oakland anymore. How many people are going to be taking them seriously when they come back next week?
You know what stinks is...
What is the fan reaction when they come back next week?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to be down the dumps, which sucks because, I mean, we haven't even had the great summer weather yet. You know, the great homestands with the big, big weekends. I know, Owen, you were at some nicely attended games.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't gotten to the point where, you know,
I think we've had three sellouts this year, but that was opening day. That was Shohei on Memorial Day. And I don't remember the third one, but... they have not had the attendance from last year carry over so far. And then we've only really had like three good weather days all
season.
Yeah,
exactly. And so you don't want there to be, you know, this feeling that the season's going nowhere. And that's why it's important. That's why I keep bringing up that, hey, they're only a game out of the wild card. But what Daryl said was totally right. Like, does anybody really believe in this team? right now. Now, we could certainly say they have not played their best baseball.
Right.
But, you know.
That's the one thing that gives you pause, right, as you look at who they were last year. They were a pretty good team. It's the same team, right? What's the difference in the team?
Yeah, and, you know, when we had Tito, you know, you always knew slow starts, but the mastery of Tito was that, you know, he would have them playing better baseball. They would reach a peak. Almost all of those Tito teams would you felt like he was getting the most out of them.
Well,
you know, that's a scary thought right now. Is there even the most to get out of a team when you look at their lineup on paper and they don't have a Josh Naylor that's in there? It is making me a little anxious, I have to admit.
In the second half, you had healthy, but they were only .500 in the second half. Right. So I'd like to say, well, in the second half, you had healthy Lane Thomas, and ain't that. David Fry wasn't an everyday guy, but he was.
He was as close to everyday.
Yeah.
That's their problem right now. They've got a bunch of middle infielders playing all the different positions, and they have a bunch of DHs, and they're trying to figure out. You can only throw between, you know, Manzardo and Santana, and then Fry not playing on a position because he had the Tommy John. Those guys are playing first base, and then to try to work in a third guy into the lineup at a DH, and are you getting consistency, and are you getting the ability to improve and build on things that you might be started off doing
right Gavin, now. You know, I can't say what's different from last year. Gavin Williams didn't start the season. He was injured at the beginning of last season. Tanner Bibee, it feels like Tanner Bibee's worse. I haven't done the numbers. Feels like he certainly struggled more than last year.
I feel like,
I'm sure
his role is much different than last year, too, as far as like, it's not like he's the clear ace. I guess you call him the ace. They don't really have a true number one pitcher, right? He's a good pitcher, but he's not the shut him down, we're putting him in. But he's also the only guy that you lean on to go get 100 pitches. And hopefully, if he can get to the seventh inning, if he can get through six, that's a great day, right?
Well, because now we're arguing,
taxing bullpen.
And we're asking whether or not he should be even out there in the seventh inning. And that's another fight that we're all having right now. It's obviously that they're in a tough spot. And I don't know how they come out of it other than, okay, well, you got Slade Ciccone tomorrow, and how do you eat a whale? One bite at a time. So my goals for where they're at have changed from making the postseason. The ALCS and things like that, these are great goals, but when you don't add anything and when you really shed some guys, you know, Andrés Giménez, I know that he had his own situations down here. I get that. Josh Naylor, where sometimes he looks like he is miserable in Arizona. I think that you take a bit of a hit in what you're going to be. You lose a little bit of the protection of what you thought you had. So we'll see what they do throughout the second half of the season. Now, that's not a great big thing to go on, but I think right now is the time, you have to ask whether or not the season is on the brink, whether or not you think the season is going to be in doubt. Right now, yeah. I mean, 6-13 over the last 19 of what you said. There's times where they have played listless baseball. There's times they can't get a bat on the ball, for crying out loud. There have been some decisions that Stephen Vogt has made that I think that the most ardent baseball fans, the most ardent Guardians fans would say, boy, that's questionable. It seems like he's trying to hope and guess instead of trying to go with what he has to see what he can do with this baseball team.
But nobody even likes what he has.
Hitting.
See, that's the other thing, though. If you're going to bitch all the time about what the Dolans have done to this team that was in the ALCS and they slashed the payroll, all of which is true, then how can you sit there and go, man, you have to stick with what you have. You can't get crazy. Like, he's desperate. He's desperate because he knows it's not an equal playing field right now with this baseball team. And we've talked, they've had a tougher schedule. They've had one of the tougher schedules throughout. So they're playing teams that have more talent on paper than them. So, the manager is going to get very desperate, and he's going to try some things.
216-474-0092. Jeremy Fowler going to join us at 9:21 this morning on who does Kevin Stefanski plan on making QB1 to open up camp this month? Jeremy Fowler did have like an insider report. He is an NFL ESPN insider with ESPN. Had a report on where Shador Sanders sits, where people like Shador Sanders, how much they like Shador Sanders. Says that the team is very optimistic about Shador Sanders, if I'm not mistaken.
This was fascinating because I was told Kevin Stefanski's plan for his four quarterbacks in OTAs and minicamp was to try to get a lot of different guys, different touches in different situations, and they all really answered the bell, including Sanders, who showed the ability to put the ball in some tight windows. He threw with aggressiveness, took some chances, so they like where he sits. Now Stefanski has to formulate a plan in training camp that's probably a little more crystallized, maybe has a little bit of a depth chart to it. They are not there yet, but Sanders has made an impression, there's no doubt.
Well, I'd hope, audio courtesy ESPN. You'd hope so. You would honestly hope so. Like, we are in a very odd space. He was supposed to be, by some people, in the top 10, maybe even top 5. So you would think that he can throw balls into tight windows if he's supposed to be there. I don't know about what the decision-making is going to be because they're in T-shirts and shorts, for crying out loud. So you would expect him to be able to throw balls in tight windows. See, this is where... This is unlike anything I think we've seen with rookie quarterbacks ever. I mean, ever. There's guys who have been considered first-round guys who have fallen to the back end of the first round. Not the fifth round. Not the fifth round. Not day three. So you would think, like, well, gosh, he must not be able to even play the position at any certain level. No, he can certainly spin the ball and put it in places where he's supposed to put it, because originally he was seen by a lot of people who were just looking at film as a guy who could be in this draft. And I don't know about other drafts. Fine. Fair. But in this draft, he was seen as, yeah, maybe a first-round guy, maybe early second-round guy by most people. Mm-hmm. So why should I be surprised? And I don't think any Browns fans are surprised. They should be pretty optimistic that this guy... Even though that you cannot get the fifth round out of your head, myself included, that this guy is able to hit all these throws. But I think the biggest challenge is going to happen when, yeah, they can actually put on some pads and go out there and play against some other teams. So we're not going to know anything until these preseason games that he plays in, because they're not even going to let him get hit during the joint practices.
Is this kind of the ironic part of this now, is that, you know, we've wondered if he got penalized because of how showy, you know, he was, the reality show stuff, the Deion Sanders, and the fact that they were going to dictate the terms to NFL teams, if you believe the reports. Now it feels like it's the flip side of it. Like, he is getting the benefit of the fact that he's a fifth-round pick, and people are surprised he can even pick up a football and chew gum at the same time. Like, people in their head are like, this guy shouldn't even be able to walk on a football field. And it's like, well, come on, guys. He did have success in college. I know he didn't have the success of some of the guys that end up going, you know, top of the first round. He doesn't have a huge catalog of big wins in college over big-time programs.
See, this is why I keep telling myself, and I'm breaking my own rule. I keep trying to say, and you've called me out on it, thank God you have. I'm serious about this, where I keep going, you got to remove the labels of third round and fifth round with these guys. You have to remove the label. All right, I say that, but how hard is it to actually do it? Because I think that we are going to see, and they're going to fight this narrative. If he shows that he's good as a rookie, and perhaps in training camp plays like what a first-round guy is supposed to play, you are going to be accused. The Browns will be accused of taking a fifth-round guy and making him a starter, or close to a starter, or the first backup because of television cameras. Because of jersey sales, because of things like that. So you're in a rock and a hard place no matter what. If I remove the fifth round label and I say, boy, he's throwing really well for a rookie. He's throwing very well for a maybe first round or second round guy. Well, that's what you're to expect out of that guy. But since he was taken so late, now it's going to feel as if you're putting him in places he doesn't deserve to be in. We welcome in Jeremy Fowler. He used to be posted right here in Cleveland, Ohio. He's still one of ESPN's finest. You see him on TV. He's at Jay Fowler ESPN on Twitter. ESPN's NFL senior insider Jeremy Fowler joins us right now on that North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Jeremy, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
This has to be a little bit bizarre for you, because it's like, well, if he shoots up, like, I was trying to explain this to Tone, and I don't know if I'm going to explain this well, but I'm going to take a whack at it here, Jeremy. It's like, if you come out and you say, well, he's surprised some people. Well, there were definitely a lot of people who thought he was going in the first round, so he should be pretty impressive to some level. But also, it is the Browns, and you know this, you cover the Browns, that you know that if the Browns end up putting him like number two on the depth chart to start the season, or even where to start him, it's going to be like, okay, now they're just chasing cameras and jersey sales and things like that. So it's going to be a very interesting and probably a bizarre training camp coming up next month, is it not?
For sure. It's got to be one of the most interesting training camps, one that I plan on attending for that very reason. You know, rarely do you have a situation where you have four quarterbacks, no true starter, although I think Joe Flacco will end up being the favorite, and then two draft picks, one of which is a massive name from a big-time family name, who is polarizing. So it's bound to be interesting. And, you know, I don't necessarily think Shador has surprised people. It's somewhere in the middle, right? It's not like it's this first-round talent that's just tearing up the Browns' fields. Like, he was a fifth-round pick, so there are expectations tempered there a little bit. But he should have gone earlier. I think most teams I talk to agree that he probably wasn't a first-round talent, but he probably should have gone on somewhere on day two. And he didn't because he had a poor pre-draft process. I mean, I think most agree on that at this point. So, you know, there's certainly enough talent there to do well and complete some passes and thread some needles in an OTA minicamp setting. But it's fascinating because it's, you know, I've had some conversations recently that at least provided the context of like, okay, Shador did well with the reps he had, but when you see the stats online, all these stats about how well he did and he outperformed all these guys, it's like, well, he's throwing 7-on-7 most of the time. He wasn't getting a lot of reps in a 11-man setting, so there's no pass rush. It's kind of expected to put up the numbers that he did. So there's just that context there that I know the Browns are working with. It's not like they were happy with what he did, for sure, but it's not like they came out of this saying, you know, wow, this guy is our starter. You know, like they're not there yet, and I don't think the performance merited that.
What do you think? We're talking to Jeremy Fowler right now from ESPN. What do you think of the whole setup, how they're trying to manage this? Because on the outside looking in, it seems like it'd be very difficult to truly evaluate, you know, these types of players taken where they were taken and then, you know, having the two veterans alongside those rookies. So they've crafted a plan very carefully and strategically, but how difficult in the end?
Yeah, so I think the way this is unfolding is, or at least according to their plan, is they wanted to get all four of these guys a lot of reps and put them in different situations and get them a lot of throws, whether it's on air 7-on-7 or it's 11-man work. But to get guys rotating in and out, you know, you guys know better than I would because you're local there and probably in town watching. But from what I was told, you know, multiple fields, so they can get guys maximized reps, first stringers running with third stringer sometimes, or just mixing and matching the looks a lot. They wanted to get guys touches at the quarterback position, knowing that when training camp comes, they have to crystallize this a little bit, where there's a bit more of a pecking order, more organization around who's going to be getting the prime reps. Like they, you know, in the NFL system, you're learning an offense, you have to do that. So, you know, Andrew Berry, the GM, Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, will gather. I'm sure they already have, but they will gather before training camp. They got plenty of time here. You got 6 weeks for camp or whatever it is. You don't have to make any hard decisions on how you're going to shake this out. But, you know, they've mapped out at least some of this or most of it, and they'll go from there. So I still go back to, you have two rookies who are third and fifth round picks. I don't think it's going to be like, wow, these guys are number one and two in the depth chart when you start. You know, like the indications are still that, you know, the veterans are going to get a lot of the action, and we'll see what happens from there.
Who do you think Kevin intends to make the starter for the depth chart to start training camp?
You know, just a guess. If I had to guess, I think it will be Flacco. Just, you know, talking to people there, he's still the best thrower they have on the roster. You know, he's really well liked there. You know, he knows the system at least to a degree. He's had success in it. But they like what Kenny Pickett's doing too. And then, you know, the rookies are coming along. So I would still say Flacco right now. I just, you know, I thought that coming into it, that hasn't really changed in my mind, unless I'm surprised and something shifts, you know. But these rookies, I do think they're going to bring them along.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now, it does seem like there's a little more momentum lately for them potentially keeping four quarterbacks. You know, coming out of the draft, it was reminded to me that, like, hey, Cleveland, they value players, like a lot of teams, but maybe more so than others, value them like currency, like value, and tradable assets, right? So if you have four quarterbacks and somebody performs well in the preseason, or you showcase somebody to perform well in the preseason, maybe you can trade a piece. And then you have three quarterbacks. But there's a scenario where they can keep four, or maybe they can stash one on the practice squad. Like, there are a lot of things you can do. It seems like they are at least open to those options at this point.
So, Jeremy, that's interesting, because if they keep four quarterbacks, look, from a sports talk and media perspective, we run with narratives, and there's been stories of, well, clearly Jimmy Haslam ran in and told him to take, you know, Shador. We don't know any of that, and obviously they've denied that around every turn. So with that said, yep. Does it matter how they prioritize these prospects going in to the draft on how they're going to maybe prioritize these guys after the draft?
So I'm not quite sure on that one. I just know they like Dylan Gabriel because they've got him in the fourth or fifth round, maybe. I think they thought somebody else was probably going to take him in the third round. So they jumped on it, but they really liked him. Like, that was, you know, I was hearing that going into the process. They felt that if he was an inch or two taller, he probably would have been a higher pick, a much higher pick, actually, because they just like the way he plays the position. More scouts than I thought like him a lot. It's just the size, you know, and then maybe the lack of, like, the high-end traits. But the way he plays the position, they really like. And then Shador, you know, look, it's a fifth-round flyer. Quarterback coach Bill Musgrave goes way back with Deion and the Sanders family. Like, at that point, there's not a lot of risk. You know, I don't think it was a major decision in the draft room where Jimmy has to call from the mountaintops, hey, take this guy or else. You know, I just really don't think that was the case. I think it was good value at the time, and they are very much in transition to quarterback and probably leaning hard on 2026. Like, people forget that, but that's that's the conversation, is 2026. It's a great draft. They went and got the extra pick from Jacksonville with that in mind. You know, not that means they have to just force any quarterback, but it's a much better quarterback draft. So to me, they are all in on that draft and seeing what happens there. You know, so the rest of it is just getting value where you can out of the draft and seeing how these guys perform, you know. But like with Shador, they are happy with what he's done. I don't think it's as groundbreaking as it's made out to be in the media, that he's just like tore it up and wow, he's earning the starting job. I don't sense that, you know, talking to folks, just in part because he hasn't really had those kind of reps. He's had the reps of a fifth round pick in a 4-man quarterback room, you know. I know they've been very happy. Well, nobody really spells this out, but I do sense that Cleveland has noticed the professional approach Shador's taken in the media, you know, clear, concise sound bites, all about the team, you know, for better or worse. That really was not always the case, or at least that wasn't always the perception coming out of Colorado and in the pre-draft, based on the things that were said publicly or at the combine. They feel like he's done a good job. I can't speak for the whole organization, but I sense that people there have noticed that he's done a really good job just making it about the team and being just one of the quarterbacks in the room and, you know, clear, concise sound bites. And he's kind of, he maybe shifted his approach that way, which has been, I think, refreshing.
Jeremy, that's an interesting challenge. Like, if you have Joe Flacco there at number one, at what point during a training camp, like, okay, so it goes, what, late July to what, altogether a week until the season starts, whatever it is. I mean, we're talking 5 weeks. At what point does Joe then get the bulk of the reps? Because any starting quarterback you're going to think is going to need reps, but here's a 40-year-old man and you got three other QBs that you're trying to get figured out for 2026, maybe.
Yeah. Well, there are usually benchmarks for that, and I'm just trying to harken back to, like, past quarterback battles. You know, mm-hmm. I think of, like, Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask a couple years ago. You know, you kind of trade reps for the first couple weeks, and once you get into the preseason action, maybe you give – one guy the first game to start, the other guy the second game, and then you make the decision. You know, like with Bo Nix in Denver and the veterans he was competing against, I think they went 2 or 3 games and then they made the call. You kind of have to do it halfway between training camp and week one. So it's urgent enough where you have to kind of have a plan going into all this, but you don't have to make a call in the first week or even the first 2 weeks. So the beginning of training camp certainly will be crucial. And, but like the lines are still a little blurred here. They're not clearly defined. Like, I don't know that it is a competition, you know, like they might think, hey, you know, look, we have Joe, we're paying him real money. They're the only guy we're really paying. He gives us the best chance to win. We'll play this out and give guys a bunch of reps, but he's probably going to be the guy. Or they're thinking like, hey, it's Joe and Kenny and we'll leave room to see what the rookies do. And it's going to be wide open. Like, I don't even know if they've made that determination yet.
Yeah.
If I had to guess though, I still think Flacco will be, you know, is in a good position at least.
Jeremy Fowler, he's sensational. He's from ESPN. Trey Hendrickson, will he be playing against the Browns for the Bengals in week one?
You know, I still think so. You know, I reported over the weekend that they resumed contract talks. That doesn't promise anything, but it is progress when Henderson had complained publicly about the lack of communication and it was getting really ugly. I do think it's in a little bit of a better spot. But the money has to talk. And, you know, there's a player that wants long-term security here. He's 30 years old. You know, I just don't sense he's interested in, like, a one-year deal like the Texans did with Danielle Hunter, you know, where they gave him an extra year at, like, a high clip, like $35 or $36 million or whatever it was. You know, I think he wants at least a two-year deal is my sense. And we'll see if they can shake it out. But, you know, Cincinnati, as we've seen, they've been difficult. They don't relent. They're uncomfortable. Excuse me, they're comfortable being uncomfortable in these situations you see with Shamar Stewart, the first-round pick. I still think, based on some talks this weekend, that there's enough conversation there where they should be able to work this out. Like, I really think a deal for him is fairly easy. He doesn't have to be in the Myles Garrett tax code. You know, he just has to be somewhere in a respectable range among some of these top pass rushers. So I think they'll find common ground eventually. It just might have more peaks and valleys.
Jeremy Fowler joining us here on the show. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, Jeremy, when it comes to the Steelers, I know they're going through a situation with a contract with TJ Watt, yeah. But also the marriage of Aaron Rodgers. What do people around the league really think he has left in the tank and whether or not this marriage even makes sense with the Pittsburgh Steelers?
You know, it's funny. I know that it's been debated publicly that, like, should they just kind of roll Mason Rudolph and maybe even see where the chips fall and try to get a quarterback in the draft last year? Like, that's the common thinking among a lot of fans now, right? Like, why are we getting Aaron Rodgers when he's going to win us 8 or 9 games again and we're going to lose in the playoffs? Like, you feel that sort of fatalistic mentality a little bit, even creep into a prideful organization like Pittsburgh. But I will say, talking to coaches both with the Jets, other coaches around the league, like, they still think he can throw it better than almost anybody. Maybe some of the mobility's gone, but they thought he was pretty good last year. You know, I don't know that it was Aaron Rodgers on a steep decline. Like, I think he is still pretty good. I mean, I don't think he's going to give them 13 wins and a 1 seed, but he was their best option. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You could debate Kirk Cousins maybe would have been a better option. The Steelers determined he was the best option. And a lot of other coaches I've talked to around the league, offensive coaches, defensive coaches, they think the same thing. So I'm a little more bullish on this than I was a couple weeks ago, I'll say that. You know, he's on a kind of a bad Jets team that was in transition at coordinator and head coach. He and Garrett Wilson had no rhythm together, no chemistry, and he still threw for 4,000-plus yards and a decent amount of touchdowns. Like, I don't know. I mean, I think it could work.
Jeremy Fowler joining us on the show. Will T.J. Watt be playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers week one against the New York Jets at New York?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes. I just don't see a world where they let this drag out too long. You know, he's a legacy guy. The problem is, with the money that Myles Garrett got, T.J.'s going to want to surpass that, and that's going to be a lot. So Pittsburgh's going to have to structure it in a way they're comfortable with. But they already acknowledged how important he is. 4 years ago, I think it was 4 years ago, when they did his first extension, and they gave him really strong guaranteed money, which was a departure for Pittsburgh. They typically just did that first year and a signing bonus, and that's what you get as far as guarantee.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores!
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Geez, well, he got year two and year three guarantees on a big extension. Like, that was pretty monumental and got the ball rolling. And a lot of these other pass rushers have him to thank for that, for what he did. So that tells me that Pittsburgh sees him in such high regard that they are willing to relent to him a little bit and let him, you know, so-called win a negotiation. Now, this will be a little different because the pass rush money has just gotten so insane. Teams have to protect themselves. Like, I think the Browns actually did a pretty good job of protecting themselves in the Myles Garrett deal. I don't have it in front of me, but when I read it, I was like, okay, they have some escape hatches here, even though the price tag at that, you know, $40 million threshold was huge and kind of shocking. But that's a manageable deal for them. So Pittsburgh has to find a way to pay him that big number and be able to have, like, some escape hatches that they needed considering his age. But I do think it will get done.
Jeremy, thank you very much for the time. All the best to you and yours, friend.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it, man. Have a good day.
You too. Jeremy Fowler, NFL, ESPN, NFL Senior Insider on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That's Jeremy Fowler talking about how the Browns may be balancing four quarterbacks on the active roster to start the season. I think a lot of people, the first reaction they have when they hear that and how the Browns, what, you're going to keep four? No one keeps four. Very, 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 very rarely. But do we all not know what this 2026 draft is about, why they have two first-round picks? I wouldn't be surprised. It's not that I wouldn't put it past them, because it's like, well, if you wouldn't put it past them, then it's a negative thing. I don't know. You got all these quarterbacks. You might as well find out if one of them is going to do well, if this is what the season's going to be. However, their message hasn't been clear. I think for a lot of fans, the message is clear, like, hey, find your quarterback this year or go to the draft next year looking for your quarterback, either or. But I think for the Browns, it's been a blurry one. You re-sign guys. You bring back veterans. There's possibilities you could have moved on from guys you didn't. So what exactly are you trying to do here? And that has been a little bit of a sticky wicket with fans, and I think that's provided some frustration. But it's like, okay, if you're going to have four quarterbacks here, you might as well try to figure out which one of those guys are able to do it. I think if I were the Browns, Joe Flacco's the starter, and I would like somebody to unseat him, whether that be Kenny, Dillon, or Shador.
Do you care
somebody
when?
Somebody unseat him.
Do you care when that is? Is you've been
You'd
on
like
record.
It sooner than later.
Well, you say that, but you have talked about, look, the goal is for these players is to always win.
Yes.
They don't care about a tank. They don't care about a rebuild. Their goal is, you know, self-preservation, what? Playing well, staying
yes.
motivated,
yes.
all those things. So you've said before that, especially with the gauntlet of games at the start of the year, like you, the security, the stability, if you will, of Joe Flacco, who has had the success in this offense,
yeah.
even if it's for a short stint.
I definitely think that, all right, hold on, going back to it. I definitely think that the goal of them is, the guys on the team is to win. I have to see this from both sides. Like, who was it that we had on last year, where or last week, that they had said it was a waste of the season to start the, just, it was a waste of the year to not play the rookies? Like, was that was Sam Monson at the beginning, and then Herm Edwards had, like, backed it up and said, well, you might as well just play the rookies. I'm going, well, you don't just play the rookies to play the rookies. You play the rookies if you want to see something from the fans' perspective, but from the team, if they can't, my whole thing is, you got to take this literally. If they can't show each other, or they can't show the rest of the team that they can do this, they can't show the guys in practice every day that they can't do this, then I've already seen without having to see it, because it's as desperate of a situation as you're going to find. You would hope that one of them is able to unseat Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is not the quarterback for the future, but I think that he's the standard. It's not a tough standard to beat. This isn't Joe Flacco in his prime in 2012. It's not a tough standard. I have a 40-year-old journeyman quarterback now. He is what he is. Who still has some talents to light it up at times. You should be able to overtake that if you're Kenny Pickett, who's 26. If you are rookies and Dillon Gabriel and Shador Sanders, at some point you should be able to unseat a Joe Flacco type of quarterback. That's what I'm hoping. And if they can't do it, then I don't need to see any of them. If Joe Flacco plays well enough to win some football games and plays well enough to not be the reason they lose some football games, then
it is not up to them. They got to show me. He's got to show me. And eventually, I think he'll run out of gas, and the mask will be off, and we'll move on. And I hope Joe is able to keep it as long as he can and play as well as he can, because I don't want anybody to play poorly for the Cleveland Browns. But I think eventually you expect one of the younger guys to take over, whether that be Kenny Pickett or the rookies.
Yeah,
trying to be real.
Yeah, and I've been trying to say, I've been keeping my mind totally open. Like, this, not exactly to the stuff we're seeing right now, because I'm kind of in the Mangini camp, which all this stuff, it's kind of laughable. It's kind of silly to come up with a depth chart based on the stuff we're seeing. And even the coaches, like the coaches don't truly know what they're going to see out of these guys beyond whether or not they're screwing up the play calls.
Yeah.
And not even understanding the play calls. Like, there is probably a hierarchy of who's picking up stuff the fastest. They're never going to tell us that, right?
Because there could be times. I mean, they could have called it out. I mean, you see them walking around in their walkie-talkies and because they're calling it into the headsets or into the speaker in the helmet. So, like, if Kevin's walking around and he's calling a play into the helmet, Shador Sanders might complete it for a 10-yard slant. Is that the right play that they were supposed to run? Because you're playing against base defenses. Like, that's what I'm saying, guys. We don't know exactly what it is. Shador Sanders or Dylan Gabe or anybody, they could have a 6-for-7 day in 11-on-11s with a touchdown. If half the plays were wrong and not what they wanted to call, you could go in there and call what you think was the play, and they could end up running the play, and it could still be the wrong play call if you can't get the nomenclature down. Like, you've heard that said, like, he's got to be able to get the nomenclature down. By the guys who we've had on who know what the hell they're talking about, that's one of the big issues that they have. Not with just Shador Sanders. I'm talking with any quarterback. You got to be able to get it, repeat it, and do as the coach tells you to do, or you're not going to be able to do it because different defenses are going to put you in a bad spot. So if he's going 6-for-7 and finding the right guys at the right moment that were the actual play being called, I'm just giving an example, then yeah, maybe that matters for something. But I can't give a bunch of leeway or a bunch of credit to 6-for-7 for a touchdown in a mini camp because we don't necessarily know what was called for. We don't know what was there. If he's getting lucky, if he's not getting lucky, whatever. And that's the same thing with Kenny, as Dylan, as anybody. So you can't really put that on him. I would expect Kenny, because he has experience, to be able to get the nomenclature down. And obviously the same thing with Joe Flacco. I'm sure Dylan Gabriel's flubbed it, and I'm sure that Shador Sanders has flubbed it here and there. By the way, speaking of Shador, did you hear the part about Jeremy's answer where he said he didn't believe that Jimmy made the call from high?
Yeah.
For Shador Sanders? That kind of went under the radar, and that's kind of went under the radar for a lot of people because a lot of us had just assumed that Jimmy had made that decision for Shador Sanders, that they weren't just like, we'll go ahead and take a flyer. That's interesting to hear an insider say that.
I agree.
Point that out. Thanks to everybody who joined us today. Jeremy Fowler was excellent. Listen to him, 92.3thefan.com. Says that he thinks Trey Hendrickson will get something worked out. I didn't get a chance to ask him about Shamar Stewart.
Which is so bizarre.
I'm not a Bengals show, for crying out loud. No. I can't ask about every Bengal player. That. Also, Daryl Ryder. He's hitting certain buttons about the Cleveland Guardians. Listen to that, 92.3thefan.com. The dangerous one, Daryl Ryder, getting ever so dangerous about the dangerous situation that the Cleveland Guardians find themselves in. We're back tomorrow, 6 to 10. For Big Country, for Jeff, for Mitch, for the slippery wizard, Anthony Lima, I'm Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful day, my friends.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up.
Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.